Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will look at a new chapter, which is titled The Different Readings of the Quran. I'm amazed for many years as I meet with Muslims all over the world. They all believe in the biggest lie of the devil, which is that the Quran is perfect, pure Arabic, easy to understand, one reading. No change whatsoever has ever taken place in the Quran. And when you talk to Muslims about that, they will speak with a sincere heart. That's exactly what it is. I love it when they compare the Quran to the Bible and they will tell you, look at your Bible. You got King James, New King James, American Standard, NIV, and this book and that book. And we're talking about over 35 English Bibles. We do not have this problem in the Quran. The Quran is one Arabic, one pure writing with no change whatsoever. And obviously, Muslims here do not know what they're talking about. We're not talking about many Bibles, but we're talking about many different translations of the Bible, not only just in English, but in many other languages around the world. Add to that, when Muslims speak about the Bible, they're speaking with ignorance concerning the topic of translations of the Quran. Because believe it or not, now we do have in the English language over 30 English translations of the Quran. So the point here is this. Yes, we do have many English translations of the Bible in the English language. But guess what? It is the same with the Quran. Translation of a book is not evidence that that book has been corrupted. Because obviously, when we translate a book, we're doing our best to come up to the closest meaning to the original words in the original languages. But I'm talking about the Quran in the Arabic language. Do Muslims have one Quran in the Arabic language as they claim in the West? I mean, if I go to Egypt right now and open Hafs Quran, will it be the same as if I go to Morocco and read the Arabic Quran, which the Muslims of Morocco are using? Or do we have many different readings of the original Arabic Quran, which goes against everything Muslims claim? Obviously, the more we dig into the subject, the more we know for sure that there is no such a thing as one pure Quran in the Arabic language. Our study today is a very deep study, requiring weeks of studying. And obviously, this will require also you, our dear listeners, to have some understanding of the Arabic language. And because I know most of my audience are Americans who do not speak the Arabic language, I will do my best to help you to see the differences in these different readings of the Quran in different Arabic Qurans. As for the Muslims who are familiar with the Arabic language and the Quran, I hope and I pray that they will not be prejudiced against my teaching, but they'll have an open mind, and they must also investigate everything I'm going to be sharing in this broadcast, hopefully and prayerfully, that they will discover for themselves the truth that there are many Arabic readings of the Quran in the original Arabic Qurans. And once again, I would love to make sure that you understand that this is a long study. And today, I'm only going to be sharing a few examples of these different readings of the Quran in the Arabic language. And now, let me share with you some of these facts from the book which I hold in my hand, which is titled by the same title of our study, Commentaries on the Quran. Once again, let me remind you, I do not know who wrote that book. Therefore, I cannot actually give credit to the writers because it's an old book and it's written by many believers, I'm guessing, who are telling the truth without putting their names on their writings. Here's fact number one. Muslim scholars disagree about the opening statement of the Quran, which is, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Merciful. In the Arabic language, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So according to the reading of Medina and Basra and Sham and the scholars of such countries, this, what we call Basmala, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, is not a verse in Quran chapter 1, nor any of the rest of the chapters of the Quran. So if you open the Quran right now, in the Arabic language, you will see that chapter 1 has 7 verses. And verse 1 is obviously in the name of Allah, the Merciful. Well, guess what? In my translation of the Quran, I did not put it as a verse. And the reason I did not do that is that Muslims are trying to make chapter 1 7 verses, that they may use it to say the 7 repeated verses of the Quran. No, the 7 ahruf, the 7 letters of the Quran, have nothing to do with chapter 1. It is just a good try and obviously an unsuccessful one for the Muslims. So they made that basmala, which is the opening statement, which is in the name of Allah, the Merciful, as chapter 1, verse 1. No, it is not a verse at all. And I'm not making this up, but that is exactly what we have read in many of Muslim scholars' writings. And the great evidence of that is that in the rest of the chapters of the Quran, that opening statement, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, is not there as a verse. You read it in the beginning of the chapter, but there's no number 1 in front of it. What makes it even worse, which is, if you go to the last chapter of the Quran, that is Quran chapter 9, you see that statement was not mentioned at all. From that, I came to the conclusion myself that opening statement, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, has been abrogated, meaning canceled, erased, deleted. For Allah is no longer merciful, especially if you read the first few verses of Quran chapter 9, where you read that Allah changed his mind concerning the covenant which Muhammad and himself have held with many of the polytheists of Mecca. And Allah and Muhammad gave these polytheists only 4 months to run for their lives. And if Muhammad and his companions were able to capture any of these people, Muhammad would have killed them. That is exactly how Allah canceled, erased, deleted, ended his attribute as being merciful. And anyway, let's continue with the book which I have in my hand here to see that the only time we read the opening statement, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, in the portion of Revelation of the Ends, that is when Solomon was writing to the Queen of Sheba, he used that statement, and that is the only place in the Quran where that verse, I'm talking about the sentence, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, is a portion of the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud, Malik, Abu Hanifa, and his companions said it is not a portion of the Quran. That's why when they read the Quran, they will not say it out loud. When they recite the verses of the Quran in their prayer, they will not read that portion, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, out loud. Therefore, we do have now in the Quran 113 verses. Yes, exactly. 113 verses were added to the Quran. They were not a part of the Quran. And if you follow these scholars, you will know for sure that somehow somebody added these verses. But if you follow other Muslims who disagree with these scholars, you may assume that these verses are part of the Quran. Either way, if you go for it or against it, somebody added to the Quran, or somebody that does not believe that that statement, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, was taken away from the Quran. So in the Mecki reading, in the Kufi reading, and according to the scholars, they actually said that it is a verse in the Quran. Ibn Abbas said, whoever leaves that statement or that verse, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, he has left 114 verses from the Quran. So from here we see that the leaders of Islam disagree about the first sentence which is written in the Quran. Some remove it because they believe it is not part of the Quran. and others wrote it in the Quran, and they believe that it must be accepted. That was the first fact about different readings of the Quran. Now let's move on to the second fact. In the opening chapter of the Quran, and in verse 3, we read, the owner of the day of judgment. Now, in some readings, it is written, the king of the day of judgment. So instead of we say in the Arabic language, Maliki Yawm al-Din, we read it, Malik Yawm al-Din. Abu Hanifa read it, Malaka Yawm al-Din, which means he owned the day of judgment, not the king of the day of judgment. Abu Huraira read it, Malak Yawm al-Din. And we can go on and on with different ways of reading that word. And every time we pronounce that word in different way, you come up with a different meaning. That's why we say that in the Quran, there are different readings for verses and for words. The noun is not like a verb, and the verb is not like a name. And that is a big problem with that word. Malik, Malaka, Malik, and so on, with how many ways Muslims disagree on reading that word.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on to fact number 3. In the same chapter, which is the opening chapter of the Quran, in verse 5, we read, Iyaka, to you alone, and also Ayaka and Hayaka. And if you do not know the Arabic language, you may not catch the differences of the reading of this word. Is it Iyaka or Ayaka or Hayaka? Three different words by three different meanings for the same word which ends the Quran. Depend on what way Muslims will pronounce that word or write that word. And I'm amazed here to read to you what is coming in the book, where Muslims sometimes go to the Arabic Bible and they read some specific word. And if we have pronounced this word in a little bit different, it could have some different meaning. But they do this on purpose, trying to find similar problems to that which they have in the Quran in our Bible. But don't forget, it's just an Arabic translation. The real meaning of the Bible can be found in the Hebrew concerning the Old Testament and in the Greek in the New Testament. We do not make a big deal about these different ways in the translation of the Bible. But Muslims are doing everything they can, trying to find an error in the Bible to say that it's not just in the Quran there is a problem, but it is also in the Bible. No, my dear friends, the Arabic Quran is the original Quran. Arabic Bible, French Bible, English Bible, Spanish Bible, that's not the original language. Maybe those who translated the Bible to different languages made an error. But the original manuscript languages, which are the Hebrew and the Greek and some Aramaic, does not have these errors which Muslims try to find in the Arabic language. Well, let's move on to fact number 4 concerning the same chapter, chapter 1, which is only 7 verses according to the Arabic Quran. In verse 6, we read, Ihdina as-surat, guide us the way. According to Abdullah, he wrote, Irshidna as-surat, which lead us to the way. Sometimes they write the word al-surat in different letters in the Arabic language. Sometimes they write it with the sad, and sometimes they write it with the letter sin. Imagine with me if you write a word in the English language, sometimes with the letter Y and other times with the letter U, which makes it a completely different word with a completely different meaning. So here we see in verse 6 in the Quran, a word written in two different ways with two different meanings. Is it Ihdina or Irshidna? And the word Surat is written in two different ways as the spelling goes in the Arabic language. Sometimes with the letter S and sometimes with the letter SH. And obviously these are different readings, which means we have many different Arabic Qurans, not as Muslims claim in the West. Now let's continue with fact number 5. In verse 7, it says, Surat al-lazina an'amta alayhim, the way of those whom you have graced upon. Ibn Mas'ud read it, Surat man an'amta alayhim, the way of those whom you have graced upon them. Now, two different readings. Surat al-lazina an'amta alayhim or Surat man an'amta alayhim. So the word al-lazina is not in the second sentence according to the reading of Ibn Mas'ud, and the word man an'amta alayhim is not written in the Arabic hafs which we use in the country of Egypt, for example. Two different readings for the same verse in the Arabic language. Fact number 7. In the same verse, verse 7, when Allah said, غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, not the way of those whom your wrath is against, nor the lost ones. Umar and Ali read that verse to say, وَغَيْرَ الضَّالِينَ, not وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, but وَغَيْرَ الضَّالِينَ. Ayyub al-Sakhtiani read it, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, a different reading for the same verse by Muslim scholars, because they're reading from different Qurans written in the Arabic language. As for the last word we read in chapter 1, which is fact number 7, in the end of that opening chapter of the Quran, we read the word Ameen. Muslim scholars said it is not part of the Quran. That's why Abu Hanifa said we should never say it out loud. Ameen. Fact number 8. We read about Osman that he said that Akrama, another gentleman, showed Osman in the Quran some letters which makes the sounds of the Arabic language, the different pronunciations of the Quran as Muslim recite it out loud. Well, Osman said, do not change it. So surely the Arabs will raise up the Quran with their tongues, which means the Arabs will recite the Quran in a specific way, which is what we know of the recitation of the Quran. When you hear it recited out loud, some of these letters are written in the Quran to make it more poetic, which means that the writing of the Quran in the Arabic language does not fit the grammar. By adding these letters to make the Quran a poetic book, that's why we see in the Quran many grammatical errors. Because when we write the Quran in the Arabic language, not following the code of writing, that is an error in the Quran concerning the grammar of the Arabic language. And that is a confession from those who gathered the Quran by acknowledging that there are errors in it. Let's move on to fact number 9. In Quran chapter 2, verse 2, we read, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that book, there is no doubt in it. Abu al-Shatha read it, لَا رَيْبُ فِيهِ, not لَا رَيْبَ, but لَا رَيْبُ. Now, when you read the same sentence, that book, there is no doubt in it, also Muslims would read it differently. Some will say, that book, there is no doubt, and then they put a period, and you continue with the following sentence, which means we're going to read that verse as follows. That is the book, there is no doubt in it, a guidance to the fear. Or we can read the sentence to say, that is the book, there is no doubt, period, in it, a guidance to the fear. Two different readings which produce two different meanings to the same sentence. It depends on where they put the period in the sentence. Fact number 10, in verse 4 of Quran chapter 2, we read, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. In English, and those who believe in what has been sent down to you and in what has been sent down before you. There are different readings for the same verse according to Abu Hayya al-Nimiri. So he read it, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ, not وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ. يُؤْمِن is the word believe. Yuqin, it is a word to know for sure. So different readings for the same verse in different Qurans by different Muslim scholars. And my friends, I can go on and on and on with these different readings of the Quran. We're talking about 34 Arabic Qurans, and the total of the different words among these Arabic Qurans are over 29,000 words. And somehow Muslims believe that they have one pure Arabic Quran without any changes, not even in one word. This is the facts about their claim. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.